Alan Kring Productions presents the Illinois State Collegiate Compendium, Academic Lectures in Business and Economics. This is Business Finance, FIL 240, Section 4 for Spring Semester 2018. Lecture 25, delivered on May 2, 2018. The title of this lecture is Review for the Final Exam.
Today, review for the final exam. Final exam will be 5 questions. You will choose 4 of those questions to answer. Do not answer all 5 and say, just give me credit for the best 4 that I did. Don't do that. Do not answer 5. I have between Friday and Monday to get about 350 exams graded. I don't need the aggravation of a superfluous question being answered. Now, here's how I build the final. I have exam 1 and exam 2 on my screen. I copy and paste a question from one of them and 2 questions from the other. That's 3 of the questions that you have already seen. And I will hold you to a very high standard to answer them dead on because you've seen them and I've told you what I expect the answer to be. Then the other 2 will be questions from the reviews that I did for exam 1 and exam 2. So you've already heard me challenge you for those questions. Now, generally speaking, the questions that I take from exams 1 and 2 are core objectives. Especially ones you didn't get do very well on the first time. So in other words, find the ones that look like they were not very high scoring. And they also address major themes of the course. That would be true of all of the questions. Now, I always do a question, at least one, that's just a straight one-sentence definitional type. You just give me a straight-up answer. Something like, what is flight to quality? What is liquidity? What is beta? What is the relationship between risk and return? Something along that line. Something where you just give me an answer and it's right or it's wrong. Those are actually fairly easy, and the reason I do this is that have you ever gone into a test and you just went pig face blank, it just got nothing, that's a confidence builder. You can find a question that you're pretty sure you can get the answer to that one, and that helps you to get your confidence back so you can go out from there and get some of the other ones answered. You are allowed to bring the note cards that you had for exams 1 and 2. And you can have another note card too. Generally speaking, the reality is that those note cards don't help so much on the exam, but they help you study and focus for it. And that's why I do that. The large themes of the course. Risk is pervasive in our finance thinking. So you could imagine that would be an important thing that I could explore, that I could have you show me that you understand why risk is important. What are the metrics of risk? In other words, how do we measure risk? Is there risk that we don't care about? Is there risk that we do care about? Assume that there could be a question that will be a scenario. In other words, I give you something like, well, this finance expert on the news said this stock has a lot of volatility. That means it's a risky stock. Show me that you understand what's wrong with saying that. The question about the ESOP, the employee stock option plan. Yeah, it obviously sounds like a great deal. Why is that not such a good idea? Show me that you understand a scenario so you can take yourself out of just definitions and look at real possible ways that you could apply the finance thinking that you've learned in this class. I'm trying to think what else I should tell you before I open it up. Again, though, if it's a question that I've asked you before, you're going to get it right or you're wrong. Now remember, when you have four questions, 5 points on each one is your grammar, your spelling, and your composition, your punctuation. Don't get it wrong now. Get it right, and if you think you know more about English grammar than I do, no, don't. Just follow what I expect of you. Write complete sentences and all that kind of stuff. But then 20 points, if you miss the question, you've lost 20 points. You've gone from an A to a low C to a low B right there. So try not to blow a question because you've got only four of them where you can, to gather points. Look at the exams one and two that I gave you back. Look at how I scored them. Assume that I will not be quite as easy on my scoring this time, because this is the final where you show me that you know all about this, all about finance at this level. Few other themes that you should consider. Things like understanding, well, the structure of an interest rate. What are the pieces that put together an interest rate? The difference between accounting and finance. Show me that you understand that difference and why that difference is important. Make sure that you have, again, all those definitions in the course. My count is that in this course, I gave you 18 definitions. Some of them were just throwaways, minor things, but there were large themes. Again, what is the internal rate of return? What is liquidity? What is flight to quality? What is money? Those are all themes of that are one sentence. That's it. And if you have looked at your exam and you have no answers that are one sentence, then you have missed something. You might have just not answered the question that was the definition, or if you think you did answer a question that was a definition and it's more than one sentence, you probably made a mistake. You got it wrong. Remember, you can lose points if you go too far. Now, on the exams, I just marked out when you started going off topic and said stop. On this one, if you keep going past the right answer and you go into weirdness, you lose points. Now, it's your turn. Ask me questions. Once you're finished asking me questions, you're going to do your student evaluations. And then that'll be it. But you've got a chance to ask me some. I will be in my office. I'm doing a mini course for the international studies, and that goes from 11 to 1 every day next week. So on Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, I'll be in my office from like 1 to 2:30 on all three of those days. Those will be my office hours during finals week. And if I'm not there at 1, it's just they're over on Williams. I'll be walking back there, walking back from there. So just wait for me to get to my office. Now it's your turn. Ask me. Yeah.
Is it 2 questions from exam 1 or exam 2?
I can't tell you that. Don't go there, man. I'm just going to pull them up and I'm going to say, those were 2 great questions I asked on exam 1. And then I'm going to get exam 2. Those are 2 great questions. And then it's going to be a battle or something like that. But really, you've got a week and a day to study for this. Surely you can go through that many. You're good. You're good. What else? Yeah. It's possible that I'll do one like that one on exam 2. I won't do a bond thing, but I could do one where I show you a stock screen. I'm not saying I will, but it's possible. It wouldn't be Monster again. But I found the interesting thing was that the bond one, it was difficult. Most of you had a little bit of hard time focusing on that there was so much data so compacted together, you weren't quite ready to do the analytics of something like that. So I'll probably lay off that kind of a thing. But that doesn't mean I'm not going to ask about bonds. I could very well ask you, show me that you understand the difference between debt and equity in terms of priority of claim, in terms of the risk. I could ask you a question about the risk of which is riskier and why. Yeah.
If we listen to your review podcast before exam 1 and exam 2, would that cover all?
That would actually cover everything, yeah.
Okay.
That's one way. Of course, I know you'll want to listen to every last podcast from the semester. I mean, just listen to them. I mean, you can do it while you're eating, while you're sleeping, you know.
I do find them very soothing.
They are soothing. Many people say, I go to sleep listening to your lectures. It still weirds me out. Students do listen to them, but there are more people who have nothing to do with this university from all over the world who listen to those than students do. Who are those people who don't have anything to do with their time but listen to finance lecture podcasts on Apple iTunes? Who does that? Anyway, okay. Anything? Other questions? Go ahead. This is your chance. Yes?
What are the pros and cons of high liquidity for a company?
Okay, I'll go through that one. I'll give you one. The pros and cons. High liquidity means rapid access to cash. The downside is that there is little to no return on investment from highly liquid funds. It's just the same way if you've got cash in your pocket, you can buy a cheeseburger anytime you want, but you're not earning any interest on that. Although I am very interested in cheeseburgers, but that's another thing entirely. I'll give you that one. But I'm trying to think, there was something else I was going to mention. Say it?
Flight to quality.
Flight to quality? You tell me. No. No. Okay. Okay.
I am a bird, okay? You're a vegetarian. You are a carnivore, okay? So, you, however, are a more interesting person. There's one possible upside to hanging around with you. So, and then I find out that the cheeseburger shack is closed. So you become riskier. So, I mean, even though there were great things that happened with you, we went to movies together, you know, and I got it free because I'm a bird. They didn't even know what to charge. But then you started looking at me hungrily because you haven't had food. And so, and I come over to you. Why did I come over to you?
Safer,
are you as interesting? No. That tie doesn't make you interesting, okay? Not at all.
Okay.
I know, right? And then I can talk. I wear, you know, really festive black ties. Okay. But risky, interesting, possible great things, a good movie, and, you know, things like that. But then, in bad times, things, I mean, she starts to be like, she looks like she's going to fix me for a meal. So I go over to you. Not as much return, but towards safety. From stocks to bonds.
Bonds.
Bonds to metals, metals, but that's not a definition. You couldn't use that for your answer. But it's from stocks to bonds, bonds to metals, metals to bullets. Yeah.
What was the question he asked?
Flight to quality. Flight to quality. Flight to quality. And no, I don't know where I come up with these examples. It just happens. What else? Yeah.
Why don't you stay away from employee stock option programs?
Well, let's ask. You can get all the stock for your retirement from your company. What's wrong with that? Can you tell me?
There's no diversity and you don't have any.
Don't say diversity. Diversification. Yeah, diversity is a different issue altogether. But yeah, it has to do with that. Is that any time you have an investment, and think about it this way. Any time you are too concentrated in your investments, you are putting yourself at unnecessary risk. And that's one of those things, it's almost a life lesson, as much as it is a finance lesson. Is that it's the eggs all in one basket syndrome. You want to avoid anything where too much of your exposure is in one place. And that's why it's interesting, because sometimes insurance companies or banks are especially vulnerable to this, is that if they make too many loans that are all the very same, that can be actually a more dangerous situation than if they get loans that are across a broader spectrum of demographics, geographics. So sometimes the auditors say, well, you're awfully concentrated in loans in this set of neighborhoods. So if that particular type of neighborhood goes south, as far as home values go, they've gotten themselves, their portfolio of their asset portfolio, and their loans are their assets. They actually are more in danger of going belly up. What else is there that you want to ask me about? Again, you do get your, you can bring in your two note cards that you already prepared and another one. And I'll be in my office from maybe a few minutes after 1 until 2:30 on Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. And don't bring in, I got these answers, can you tell me if they're right or wrong? I don't pre-grade, but we will talk. We can talk. And, yeah.
What are the four types of money?
You tell me. What is the oldest kind of money in the world?
Cash?
No. No. Barter. That's the moose. And then once you've got through that, then we started doing things with gold and silver. What kind of money is that called? Commodity money. Sometimes you call it metal money. And then what was the one that is decreed? It's money only because the sovereign says it is? Fiat or fiat. And then the most modern that's just showing up now is what? The cryptos. Now, what is the thing about these in terms of liquidity? Yeah, the more modern it is, the more liquid it is. But there's also the other side of it. How about intrinsic value? It's exactly the opposite of liquidity. Liquidity and intrinsic value are directly opposite each other when you're talking about money. In other words, the more liquidity a currency has, the less intrinsic value it has. That's how it gets more liquidity. It's becoming by becoming worth less as something. So, think about it this way, ma'am.
Okay.
If you are alive, I'm right. Okay. I always want to make sure.
Well, with me being a ghost hunter and all, you know, I test it. You know, full body apparitions can be very, very tricky, mind you. Okay, now. Where was it? Oh, okay. Okay, now. If I wanted to extract value from you, she's actually worth, most of you are worth $4 to $6 million. $4 to $6 million, okay? Can I get that instantly, immediately? No, it happens over your entire life. Because there's such intrinsic value to you. But at the same time, it's extremely low liquidity. I can't get that value out of any of you. You can't get it out of yourselves right away. Now, you die. And at the pearly gates, they say, you have lived such a good life that we are going to transform you into an angel. Now, an angel is just energy. Okay. You see, what has happened now, you have no intrinsic value, but man, you can flow like water. Wouldn't you be glad when you're out of there? Right in the notes, weirdest ass professor ever. Okay, but do you understand the idea there that liquidity and intrinsic value are interestingly exactly inversely related? Cryptocurrencies have no intrinsic value whatsoever, none. They don't even exist in a real sense, but they are the most purely liquid of all of them. Instantly, you can use a Bitcoin. It's at the speed of light. And soon it will be faster than the speed of light once we get quantum entanglement worked out. Spooky action at a distance and all of that. Anything else? Yes. Okay, I'm going to do something I normally wouldn't do. I'm not going to ask you that. There was that question about, I gave you one where I was trying to get you to see nuance. The beta was under 1, but not too much under 1. The PE ratio was above 30, but not too much over 30. And that was for some of you, okay, for many of you, that was the equivalent. You went into Windows, is going into the blue screen of death and shutting down. It was bad. So I'm not going to do that one to you, because that was asking for some nuance of thought.
Many years ago, I was sitting in a theater. The movie was going to start, and this guy walks up to me, and there's an empty seat beside me, and he said, "Is this seat saved?" Now, the theological difficulty I had, he actually left because he saw me looking so concerned about a good answer. It's a seat. How could it? But then again, who am I to question whether or not that could happen? So I'm not going to ask you anything that has that kind of depth on it. I think I said this early in the course, we are the philosophers of business, finance is, but we're at our best as philosophers after we've had a few drinks, and you can't drink in class. So I'm not going to ask you anything that is that nuanced. They'll be blunt questions. Just, this is something that's not, maybe this, maybe that. It's just a clear answer, okay? Anything else? Elvis has left the building.